the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I think I got my feet under me a little bit more today than we had yesterday with that Google shutdown, Facebook, YouTube shutdown, whatever. Could be, folks, just a sign of things to come. Got a piece of candy in my mouth this morning. Sorry. It's rude, but I don't care. It's a cinnamon ball, as my grandson David would say. Man, it's a, hate to be redundant, but it's a whirlwind swirling all around us. And I want to comment on that a little bit before we get rolling here with some other stuff. Hey, folks, listen, we're going to have to figure out how we I talked about this last week. Hebrews, might go to Hebrews, is it 11? I'm sorry I didn't have this ready for you, Mike, but the Holy Spirit just spoke it to me, so I'm going to go there real quick, looking at my own scripture for it even right now. And I talked about this a little bit last week, but I think it's important that we talk about it again. No. Bear with me. 11. Hebrews 11, Mike, I'm sorry. Now, faith is. I want you to see two things in there that are kind of significant in this whole verse out of Hebrews. Now, faith is. Do you see the connecting words there? Now and is. Both are present tense, folks. Both are present tense. Now is. Not now will be, now was, now is. Present tense. Faith is all about the present tense. It's all about the time and place in which we live and what's happening in our life at this present moment. So Hebrews 1 says, now faith is presently what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I commented a little bit on this a couple days ago because we've got to get away, all of us, believers in Christ. We have to be steady the course. Steady the course. High school football coach. I didn't watch Cleveland Browns last night. I guess they had a fantastic game. Luckily, I couldn't get it up on my screen, so I got to bed and got some sleep. But it was an up and down, you know, up or down. You guys have all seen those kind of football games, haven't you? Boy, you're up 1 minute, you're down the moment. In fact, the Browns scored with, well, the Baltimore Ravens scored with like a minute to go ahead of the Browns, and the Browns drove down and scored, and then the Ravens kicked a field goal with 7 seconds left, and they won. Now, faith is. What is it? It's the ability to see what's going on around you and not be moved by what's going on around you, but staying focused on the fact that something that you are believing for is going to happen. Now, faith is. Now. And boy, if you got your face tuned to the internet and you're watching Facebook and Twitter and Twatter and Twitter and Twummer and all those programs and you're trying to watch that. My wife does it all the time. What, anything happened yet, honey? Anything happened yet? I said, well, yeah, something's happened, but this thing ain't going to be over for quite a while yet, sweetheart. So it really doesn't matter what happened today. Now faith is. I got faith that this thing is going to work out the way that Lord wants it to work out. Maybe not the way I want it to work out. Maybe not the way you want it to work it out. But now faith is telling you what? That everything going on right now, ups and downs, touchdowns, interceptions, fumbles, extra points blocked, all that. It's all going to be okay in the end. It's all going to be okay in the end. And one of the things that we have to get ourselves away from. Folks, hear me. Some of you are going to be the only steadying force in your family, or the only steadfast steadying force. I can't tell you the number of texts I get a day saying, Coach, what do you think about this? And I'm glad I get them. I'm glad I get them. But a lot of times I get those texts, I feel a sense of defeat or urgency. Oh, no! Folks, doubt is nothing but negative faith. That's all it is. And as I said the other day, it's like filling up a bucket of water, and you almost get the water to the top, and somebody comes and kicks the bucket over, and boy, a lot of your faith gets splashed out, and you got to realize that that's all part of the process. So I want you to keep steady the course. As Larry has told us, we have faith towards God, towards God. Our faith is, trust is in God. Our trust is not in MAGA. Our trust is not in President Trump. Our trust is not in Bill Barr, and we'll get to that in a second. Our trust is not in whatever. Some men trust as horses. Some men trust in chariots, the Bible says, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we can go down and read about all these guys and what they did through faith and all that kind of stuff, but also ultimately be reminded that it, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. So what's going to happen is going to happen. And we all know this, that we deserve whatever whack we get, we deserve, don't we? Whatever we do. But it's all going to be okay in the end. So I wanted to start out with that this morning and just say, quit rising and falling with the tide, right? The waves. Get off of that wave, man. Get off of that wave. Buckle in, trust, obey, pray, and seek the Lord and remain calm. Yeah, come on in. Yeah.
Now, there's one way that I think we can kind of simply take a small step to help encourage each other and to remind each other that this isn't over. And that is put your flag upside down until this mess is over. Everybody that sees it will be encouraged or angered, and it will help the divide. It will help separate the good from the evil, so it will know who each other is. I don't see anything wrong with flying my flag upside down until my country is no longer in distress. And by the way, Gail goes home today. Praise the Lord. Thank God.
Well, Larry, you stole some of my thunder. I was going to talk about that this morning. Yes, folks. I usually wear it on my helmet. On my hat, I always wore it up one of my older hats. Always wore an upside down flag. And people always want to come around and turn it up right side. I said, well, no. We're in distress. An upside down flag is a universal sign of a nation in distress. And we, you don't have to look very far to understand, my friends. We are currently, or right now, at war. Now, maybe it's a technological war. Maybe it's an information war. But the earth, see, what was the name of that place? Just kidding. Pearl Harbor's already happened. Pearl Harbor happened on Election Day, folks. It already happened to us. And now we're in the reaction, build back, fight back phase of probably people felt in December 7th, 1940, 41, when that thing happened. So that's where we are. The old phrase, keep the faith, I think is really, really important this time. I just wanted to encourage all of you. Listen, come on, man. You're not going to be good to anybody if you're up and down. If you're up and down, you're not going to be good to anybody. Yeah, go ahead.
Chad, okay. One of the things I just want to say kind of for the naysayers, you know, that we went down there to Hillary Clinton's place, right? We prayed against that, and you went to the Georgia Guidestones and went down there, and we prayed against that. And we went over to Bill Barr's, and went over there to Obama's, all those other places, and you didn't get instant results. But ask yourself this, those of you that write in or just are critical of Coach and this ministry when they go out there, rhetorically, ask yourself, if all of a sudden those exact results in there, would you have sent emails into Coach and saying, hey, great job?
That's right, Chad. That's right.
Because you wouldn't.
But, Chad, you wouldn't believe, and many of you would not believe. Yes, you would. Maybe you would. The emails I got regarding the resignation of Bill Barr. I'll jump into that in a second, okay? Hey, we need to pray. We need to pray for Tammy Evans, Bob Evans' wife, Tammy. She fell. Actually, she was. The women had to get together here, and she at Sky High, and she fell on what night was it? Saturday night, Saturday evening, and shattered her kneecap, broke some bones down around her ankle, and she's got like two pins in her leg already. They already did one surgery, and they're going to do another surgery today. And somebody was saying that once she gets out of surgery, it'll be at least 6 weeks before she's allowed to put any weight at all on her left leg. Bob's not able to go down and visit. At least up to now, Bob hasn't been able to, not allowed to visit in the hospital. Do you believe us? Do you really believe us? And so yesterday, her daughter Tori was able to be in and see her. But Tammy's probably kind of alone in the hospital and having that surgery today. So all of you just be in prayer for Tammy and Bob. And that, you know, Tammy's a, she like my wife, man. She never stops. She never stops. And so I can imagine what Bob's life's like at home by himself right now. Bob might have to tie his own shoes. Just kidding, Bob. So I'm going to ask somebody right now if they just pray for Tammy Evans. And we want to make sure we thank God for Larry's wife being able to come home. How many days has it been, Larry?
Surgery's not till tomorrow.
My wife just yelled at me, surgery's not till tomorrow. Okay, thanks. I'm sorry. How long has your wife been in the hospital, Larry?
Except for 2 days since the 23rd of November.
Wow. Wow. And praise the Lord, we pray. Who's gonna lift up? Who will lift that up? Myra will. God bless you, Myra. Go ahead, dear.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. This is the huddle. And you know that all of us love you, Lord. We pray for the wife of Mr. Evans. She is going to undergo surgery tomorrow, Lord. And I pray it also for Larry's wife, Gail, and give you the victory as she going home tomorrow. And Lord, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over Mr. Evans' family. And we pray that she's surrounded by angels, that you guide the hands of the surgeons so that she has a successful surgery, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Myra. Thank you, Myra. Amen. Hey, Mike, go to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. Flip ahead because I want to finish this off here this morning.
Hey, Coach, can I follow up with what Chad was talking about there?
Well, of course you can. Go ahead.
When I used to watch, one of my favorite quarterbacks was Joe Montana. And, you know, he was famous for that two-minute drill, winning those games.
Yep.
And for me, it was extremely exciting to see it all come down to the last 2 minutes and then watch him drive down that field and win.
Yep.
And I think that's one reason why he's remembered as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Yes, sir.
And I know my Heavenly Father is much greater than Joe Montana.
Amen. 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 So God's the ultimate 2 minute drill quarterback, isn't he, Bobby or Clay?
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It ain't over till the fat angel sings.
It ain't over till the fat angel sings. In fact, I'm trying to get it. I'm sort of getting ahead of myself or behind myself here because I got some great words of encouragement for you today. But the Holy Spirit put this on my heart here. Romans, I'm sorry, got my mind today. Hebrews 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Well, we ought to stop right there. What does that even mean? Seeing we are also compassed about. Are they watching? Is he talking? See, we like to say that this is our relatives are watching. Grandma's up there watching. Is it really? Either way, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know that doubt is a sin, folks. Did you know that? Did you know that fear can be a sin? Did you know that those are weights and those are sins that easily beset us, trip us up? You understand it? And let us run with patience. Not just run, but run with patience the race that is set before us. We got a race set before us, guys, girls. looking unto Jesus, right, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for that joy, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Suppose in the middle of that cross, he was saying, oh, what the heck's going on here? Oh, my God, Lord, what you got going on? In fact, didn't he go in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Lord, if there's any other way to do this thing, take this cup away from me. I don't really want to do this. I really want to do it. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down to right hand the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Because, Steve Deck, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Boy, we deserve that, don't we? Nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if you endure chastening, God dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you be without chastisement, that's America, by the way, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. By the way, Steve, whoever, there's that swear word everybody says. You're not allowed to say bastards. Right there it is. Fatherless, without a father. So let's not be like those who run the race with fear. That's not a very, very good position. Okay, so what's up with Bill Barr? Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Just as you said that, run that race. And I was sitting here thinking as soon as you started the show, something I wanted to share with you. And then you got to that part of running the race. Think about the race. Everybody is along the sidelines. They're standing on that sidewalk watching you run that race. But they'll ridicule you, just like over the years at my family. Don't you start preaching here, blah, blah, blah. Well, yep. Thanksgiving, like I told you, I got to share with my son. They called me because they were quarantined. So not seeing my kids and grandkids for the last year or two because they don't come around. He called me back when it was time to eat Thanksgiving Day. I said, you call me back when you guys sit down at table. I'm going to pray over you and your family. And he did. And had a conversation with him. It was really good. All the kids got to listen as I was on speakerphone. And so there in the last couple of days, I found out my aunt died in Oklahoma. They're shipping her back here. And you know my sister Cassie. She calls me, tell me about this, blah, blah, blah. She called him back in yesterday and said, hey, Jeff, can you call Pastor Roger and see if he'll do the funeral, maybe read some scripture? I said, why do we need a pastor? She said, oh, I never thought of that. So I told her, I said, we can pray, we can read scripture, and we can share about Aunt Mary. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I said, I done it at Uncle Bill's funeral because he said he didn't want a pastor, and I did it. My mom got mad. She didn't like it. But I said, now I talked to Mary Jane last night. Oh, it'll be just my family around the gravesite. It's going to be at the gravesite, and I'm going to get to do this with my brothers, sister, my kids, my grandkids, everybody there. You know what I mean? But they're calling on me and asking me now. When the whirlwinds come, they're going to reach out. Some of us that have been standing. Cass even said yesterday, I said, we've been talking to her the last couple of days about stuff you're doing and that we're doing. And she says, so we're going to the Circle Mounds this weekend. Because now she's starting to get a little bit fired up. She said, oh, I got to work this weekend, but let me know any weekend you guys are doing something. I want to go along now. I'm like, hallelujah.
Amen, Jeff. Amen. Hey, listen, they recognize it, right? Folks, they recognize there's something different about you. We have so messed up religion. We've made religion so irrelevant so much of our lives, have we not? And so I guess we really have nobody else to blame but ourselves on that. Let me go to Bill Barr here real quick. Because as you can probably imagine, I've been bombarded with, oh, yeah, well, good job visiting Barr. I said, there you go. We were told to go pray for Bill Barr. We didn't say when we went to Bill Barr's house that all of a sudden he was going to do everything we wanted him to do. That was never part of the deal, and that was never what we asked to be done. He said, thy will be done. The Lord told us to go pray, and we went and prayed. And I've been watching stuff. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Some of you are aware of it. We bombarded Mrs. Barr with cards. You guys remember, a lot of you were part of that. Well, those cards began to be returned to sender. I don't know if you guys got yours sent back to me. We got ours sent back to me. Boy, that's really odd. That's really odd, because they were simply cards that were encouraging Mrs. Barr to, we're praying for you and praying for your husband. And when those cards started coming back, when I got that card, Michelle went to the mailbox, she came back and handed me that card. I said, Lord, there's a separation coming here. Something is happening here. Because why? Perhaps, dime store psychologist, right? Perhaps a little bit of conflict in the Barr house. Maybe one of them is the never Trumper. Maybe Mrs. Barr doesn't like Bill working for Donald Trump. Maybe every night on the pillow, Mrs. Barr's in his ear about Trump, and you shouldn't be helping this guy. Who knows what's going on, right? We don't know. So we go and we pray for Attorney General Barr. And here's what I saw yesterday. Our prayers were answered. He was pushed to the edge, wasn't he? He was pushed to the edge. And how many times do we know? Didn't that why we pray, Lord, nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And when we showed up and we prayed on Bill Barr and we prayed and we hoped Bill Barr would do the truth. You know what I'm going to tell you? I made a statement yesterday. It takes courage to be a hero. And he just may not have it. He just may not have it. So I say, thank God Bill Barr's gone.
Boom.
Thank God we prayed him out of there, even though we didn't pray him out of there, did we? We prayed the Lord's will be done. And what was going on in Bill Barr, around Bill Barr, through Bill Barr, has been exposed. And you know who knows it's been exposed? Bill Barr. He knows it's been exposed. And it's my take on the whole thing. I'm glad we did it. We did the right thing. And I believe that we brought pressure on Bill Barr that when he lay down his head at night, he remembered those cards. And he remembered that white horse outside his house.
Yep.
And so I make no apologies for it. I see it as victory, not as a defeat. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, just in time. We got 30 days for him for Trump to put another person in.
How long has he been sitting on this crap, huh? How long, yeah. Right?
So I mean, it's unfortunate he's not doing the job, but we'll get someone in that will.
Amen. So it's all good, folks. It's all good.
It is good.
It's all good. Because listen to me, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. It is a way that seemed right to a man, but the end result is death and destruction. If we'd have gone in there and prayed, please, Mr. Barr, please lock him up. Please lock up Hillary. Please lock up Comey. Please. That wouldn't have been the will of the Lord. It wouldn't be the will. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Barr said he's got some unfinished business he has to take care of in the next 2 weeks, and who knows what that might be. So we don't know, do we? But see, you lose your faith. Oh, man. You didn't have any substance to begin with. You had hope. You didn't have faith. You had hope. We need faith.
There's victory coming after all this.
There's victory coming, baby. I'm going to encourage you here some more. Anybody want to comment on Bill Barr before I move on to a little bit more of encouragement here for you?
I just want to say they mentioned the Stone Hagman report the other night on Friday night again about going to Bill Barr. And Randy Taylor spoke on there and said that after watching our video, his opinion was that somebody got to Bill Barr and threatened him, or they have something on him. And if that's the case, you know, he may almost have his hands tied. But I heard one other thing saying that in the letter that he composed, there's no mention of the word resignation. So I don't know if this is all over with myself.
You're right. It didn't say that. And of course, they were doing lovey-dovey with each other. Oh, Trump now loves Bill Barr, and he's an honorable man, and Bill Barr loves Trump. And so, hey, folks, listen, this is what I'm talking about. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, trying to figure everything that's going on. Don't keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Right, Randy? Amen. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord, that he's going to do what he's promised us that he's going to do. So thank God.
100% correct.
You know, if Bill Barr was riding the fence, thank God we knocked him off. Huh, Randy? Come on in.
Coach, hey, yes, Coach,
that's what I was going to say. The conviction come upon his heart when you Christians are all surrounded out there on him.
Yes,
and
sir.
You're probably thinking, man, I got to do something.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, Coach, guess what? I was listening to Monkey Works, I think, yesterday. There was Bill Barr got on a plane, went to Atlanta yesterday or day before. What's that? What's up with that, Coach? We don't know. My point is, Coach, we need to just be quiet and watch God's hand do things instead of us trying to predict what he's going to do and try to be and say, I figured it out. I'm right. Look at me. Look at me. We need to just do what we're told, be obedient to God, and watch God do the salvation. That's our job. It ain't our job's not to try to figure it out.
Hey, and Randy, our job is to do or die, not to figure why.
The Bible tells me this, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And I just want to caution all of you who I love all of you, not the same, but just kidding. When you lose your faith real quick like that, it tells us what's really in your heart, folks. It tells you what's really in your heart. When I saw the Bill Barr resigned, I was kind of ambivalent. I thought, oh, well, thank you, Lord. If he's dead weight, get his ass out of there. Ass is in the Bible. Huh? Lord, if he's dead weight, move him out of there. And thank you, Lord, for having done that. I would rather he arrested all those folks, but maybe he's not the man for it. And Lord, thank you for showing us that he's not the man. And thank God for everybody who went there and put that pressure on him. And now he's gone. And praise the Lord, we can move forward. So I want to encourage. I'm always a guy. I try to be a guy of encouragement. Two things that I think are really, really important. Number one, and I'm not going to talk a whole lot about this. I've done a little bit of research on it. Folks, I believe that the Insurrection Act is coming. And Mike, it's the last thing that we have down at the bottom there. If you could pull that up here real quick, because we hear a lot about it, right? In fact, we heard General Michael Flynn, when we were in Washington, D.C., said, it's time for Donald Trump to, whatever the word is, engage the Insurrection Act. So I thought, well, you know, a lot of us don't really know what that is. So I just grabbed a real quick video. I don't know what it is. This is going to explain what the Insurrection Act is. And it's a form of a soft martial law to stop domestic uprisings. This is about a two minute 45 second video that I think will explain it to you. Go ahead. Because folks, I think this is coming. I think it's coming very, very soon. Go ahead.
Amen.
I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
The U.S. president has threatened to deploy troops on American streets, effectively putting states on notice. Control the violence or the army will move in. But to do that, the president would need to invoke what's known as the Insurrection Act of 1807. It says that in all cases of obstruction to the laws, where it is lawful for the president of the United States to call forth the militia for the purpose of suppressing such insurrection, it shall be lawful for him to employ, for the same purposes, such part of the land or naval force of the United States as shall be judged necessary.
Freeze up, Mike.
Has been invoked on several occasions. It was.
I'm sorry, I didn't give you much of a notice. Go back there real quick, Mike. I want you guys to see something here. That's important. Again, okay. In the Insurrection Act of 1807. Here's one of the problems. One of the things that's happened to us. If you notice, the President of the United States, line three, Mike, is to call forth the militia. Folks, that wasn't the army and the navy. That was the militia of the individual states. That's what that was all about. See, hey, can I tell you? Can I encourage you? We're coming back to this. I think we're coming back to this, to where the individual American's going to have to stand up. We're going to have to stand up and take control of it. Right? Hey, listen. This is all good. This is all good. Now, martial law can be bad, but this is all good. Keep playing it, Mike, if you will.
Shall be judged necessary. The act has been invoked on several occasions. It was last used 28 years ago by then President George H.W. Bush to quell riots in Los Angeles after the acquittal of four white police officers over the beating of Rodney King, a black man. On that occasion, The act came into force as the request of the then California Governor Pete Wilson.
At the request of the governor and the mayor, I have committed these troops to help restore order. I am also federalizing the National Guard, and I'm instructing General Colin Powell to place all those troops under a central command.
But what happens if the state governors oppose it? Many experts believe the law might still be used in certain cases. One of the main exceptions is when a state is violating people's civil rights. In 1957, President Dwight D. Eisenhower overruled the Arkansas governor and ordered the 101st Airborne Division into Little Rock to allow 9 black students to attend a previously all-white high school.
I have today issued an executive order directing the use of troops under federal authority to aid in the execution of federal law at Little Rock, Arkansas.
It was later used by Presidents John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson during the Civil Rights era in the late 60s. Invoking the Insurrection Act remains a rare occurrence in U.S. history. It was not invoked in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, nor was it used in Baltimore, Maryland in 2015 during the riots that followed the death of a young black man, Freddie Gray. Trump has laid the military option on the table and believes he has the power to use it. If he does, experts say, it may spark yet more political confrontation in the midst of his social unrest and a global pandemic. Li Jingyi, CGTN.
Okay, so folks, here's what we have to keep in mind, all right? The reason the Insurrection Act... first of all, you know what they're going to scream. He's a dictator! He's a dictator! He's just trying to save... So be prepared for that. But we've already shown you in modern American history, it's been used a number of times. But the reason the Insurrection Act, Donald Trump, everybody who swears an oath to the Constitution to protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I believe there's enough evidence to show that China in particular is doing everything they can to infiltrate and influence the American society, the American government. That is insurrection. And I believe that, as Michael Flynn said and others have said, the only answer to where we are is to lock things down and go arrest those people who need to be arrested. What that's going to look like, I don't know. But I put a meme on Facebook today. I want you to think about this. Wasn't it just 2 years ago that they were telling us that Russia influenced our elections? That Hillary was going to be president, but Russia cheated! Russia cheated! Russia cheated! And now that the Chinese cheated or the Democratic Party cheated, what are they telling us? You can't cheat in elections. You can't rig elections. Well, which is it, folks? Which is it? So I just want to give you all fair warning that I believe something is going to happen and going to happen soon in regards to, hey, it's either now or never. Now or never. Shut up a minute. Come on in. Yeah, Jack.
I believe that at least one thing happened when you guys went down and prayed with Bill Barr. I believe his conscience was pricked.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
I believe, because Bill Barr is an original swamp rat. Bill Barr knows. Bill Barr was buddies with CIA Bush. Bill Barr could be looking for a plea deal right now before he sings.
Amen. I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. I do think we piqued his conscience. I think he laid down on his head at night on his pillow. He was bothered, troubled. Somebody else, come on.
Dave.
Yep.
Even if we went to Bill Barr, even if we did all these things that have been done, even if nothing happened, the point is not that necessarily. It is that we are obedient.
Sir.
Okay, we're told to go and we go, and that's it. So quit looking for all these instant results.
Yes, sir.
It's not Bisquick. Okay, it's not rice. Okay, look, this stuff takes time. You know, Noah, it took him 100 years to build that ark. You know what I'm saying? So, look, we just got to stay the course.
Hey, Chad, listen, folks, I'm so proud of our crew. I was so distracted yesterday doing the show because Google was down and all that kind of stuff. You guys have any idea what we did? Do you understand what we did? You say, well, I have people say, oh, Coach, you don't believe in that stuff, do you, Coach? You believe the demons are controlled. You don't believe that, do you? Well, yeah. Sorry, yeah, I do believe it. And when the Bible says that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, yeah, I think that's probably what we're talking about. Yeah, yeah, I do kind of believe that, right? And we're told to go in and tear it down and root it out and pluck it out. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Now, I don't know to you what that would look like. I don't know what it would look like. But I think when they put cornerstones down, they put a cornerstone down because it's something that is significant. It is a marker to all of history, to everybody from above and beyond, that this marker signifies something. So when we went to Washington, D.C., and we went to the north, the south, the east, and the west cornerstones, those cornerstones signified something. Now, what they signified, I don't really know. You don't really know. Steve Deck doesn't really know. And Myra doesn't really know. We don't know. All we know is we're going to go to those things and we're going to call on the name of the Lord to do what? To cut those bands that we read about in Psalm 2, to tear down, to pluck up, to root out, and for a new anointing of God to come upon this nation. We went to the four cornerstones. Laugh all you want. We did it. We did it.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead.
Because you know what they try to make fun of us for praying, but we know that they pray in between their stupid shows for their demon god. So why would we be dissuaded?
Yeah, but Vinny, it's Christians. I'm telling you, I have more problem with Christians.
I know
Christians who don't believe in the demonic world. Christians who don't believe in the Nephilim, the fallen giant. It's in the daggone scripture. What do you mean you don't believe in it? What do you mean? It's right there. And when it says we're wrestling not against flesh, and who are we wrestling against? Wake up! Wake up!
Hey, Coach, amen. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth, his two biggest obstacles was demons that he was casting out of people and the religious sect who were always trying to entrap him.
Amen. So what do we do? Jack and his crew, they went and got two of those stones on Friday night. We got one of them on Saturday morning. Steve Deck and the boys, they picked one up on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, whatever it was, whenever it was, Steve. I don't know when it was. Steve went in and wiped the feet of George Washington in the Masonic Temple of all places. And prayed the glory of the Lord down. We went to the high place, Capitol Hill, and we stood outside the Capitol Hill and we prayed those kingdoms down. Are we just playing tiddlywinks? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But we did it because he told us to do it. And then we went there and we walked 2 miles or whatever it was, and we went down to the Washington's Monument, the penis, if you will. We went down there and we laid hands on the four corners of that place and we prayed it down. Four cornerstones, a Masonic temple, Washington Monument, and the Capitol building, and I'm proud that we did it. Amen. I don't care how much you laugh. We Amen. Did what we're hey, supposed Coach. To do, and something is going to happen as a result of it. Go ahead. Come in. Hey,
Coach.
Yes.
Coach, can you hear me? This is Craig.
Yes, Craig.
Okay. When I give you this information, it's going to complete the loop. All right?
Yeah.
George Washington died on December 14th. 1799. George Washington was riding his horse for 6 hours because that's what he would do on his plantation, and he got wet on December 12th and got pneumonia and died 2 days later.
Wow, is that right? My goodness.
So
December 12th.
December 12th, he's out riding that horse. Don't tell me that, Craig. No kidding.
Thanks,
hey,
Craig.
Coach.
Hey, look it up, guys. I mean, go to the – just look up the history. It's all dated, and it's all there. And as I was explaining to Steve, Coach, at the Masonic Lodge, I said, you know, in Ezekiel said, you know, when Ezekiel saw these cherubim, he saw a wheel within a wheel. And God gave me, I think, an insight through the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about something that people can think about this, ponder it, and go to the Holy Spirit. Remember your bikes used to have those sprockets, had all those teeth in them, you know?
It's from a
cross. Yep. Okay. So think of a sprocket that has 50 teeth. And then think of that sprocket that's hooked to a sprocket that has 400 teeth. And that sprocket that's 50 has to go 8 circles to move that one 400, correct?
Right. Yep.
Okay, so I just gave you something to put in your image, right?
50 is a year jubilee, and 400, remember we kept talking about 400 years, right?
Right.
400 years they were in Egypt, 400 silent years. The 400 years basically from judges to kings, 400 years from kings to Babylon. So these are patterns that are like a sprocket that are turning, and every once in a while they all line up. That those sprockets at the first 50 and 400 after 8 cycles, they all line back up into a perfect alignment.
So,
and that's what we're having. We're spiritual things that are happening in physical realms.
So something's happening here. Would you say that, Craig? What it is ain't exactly clear. Huh? But old old Bill Barr's out of there.
Yes. What I'm saying, and I encourage everybody, go read the first chapter of Kings. First Kings, chapter 1. Go read that and apply it to what's happening right now.
Amen.
We'll see if it's true or not.
Because there's something happening for sure. There's something. Hey, Coach, I want to encourage you. Come on in, Randy.
I want to make a little point here about what we do, and then we have to just keep moving forward, just whatever happens after that. Okay, Elijah, God tells Elijah to go to Ahab and prophesy to him and tell him, hey, I'm taking you down, you and Jezebel, and he gives him a prophecy, and it's terrible. I mean, he says, Jezebel's going to be eating my dogs, Ahab, you're going to be, and it's bad. So what's Ahab do? He repents. And God's before Elijah has to go back after that, Coach. He has to go back to Ahab and says, okay, God says, since you repented, I'm going to take this off you and I'm going to put it on your future, your sons and your grandsons, that judgment. Well, Coach, it's not our job to predict what's going to happen to these people. It's our job to be obedient.
Amen.
Just like
Amen.
Elijah. You think he wanted to go back to Ahab and tell him, oh, now God's going to spare you because you repented? That's kind of what happened, Coach, with Barr. I mean, it ain't our job to make him follow God. We have to do what we're supposed to do and let God take up, be God, you know. And that's what we have to learn out of this situation and not say and second guess ourselves. And doubt and all this stuff. We have to get over that. We have to keep moving forward every
Amen.
Time.
Amen. Mike, Jeremiah, get Jeremiah 1 up. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to take that just a bit further. Add in what Larry tells us to do. Pray for God's will be done. Because if we tried to think of how to fix this stuff, we are so limited. So when you go and you do these things, Coach, we have to believe that we are in the spirit with you, and we don't understand the impact. And that's what we're trying to do now, as Randy's saying, is we're trying to understand how we fit in. But we don't. We just don't. God has such a plan between the Alpha and the Omega. We're so small. And I'm going to give you a quick analogy, and we can keep going. God created a massive, massive, massive clock. That clock has gears. Massive gears with cogs and just tons of parts, but the gears are small, and springs and axles and just so many pieces. We are just a little bitty teeny cog on one of the smallest gears.
Amen.
And we think that we're going to change this massive clock movement. Okay, that's where we fit. And every now and then somebody throws a wrench in the works, and we don't want to get our gears all banged up, but we don't see the rest of the gears. But what you're doing, Coach, is you're helping us align ourselves with the will of God. That's what it's done for me. I don't understand how this stuff works.
I don't either, man. I don't even know. Mark, listen, I don't even know why we do some things we do. I'll just be honest with you. I get that unction to do it. I say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do that. Like going to the serpent mound here. Okay. But I want to show you something here. We're in Jeremiah. Mike's got it up on the screen. Verse 4, Mike. Start at verse 4. Because this, to me, what do you do with this? It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, isn't that great that the Lord comes to you and he's saying something? The word just doesn't come to you, but he's saying something when he comes, right? And he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Now, hang on. I don't know if this directly is just about Isaiah, but I think it's about me. I think it's about you. Before he formed you, in other words, there is a there's a pre-existence beyond this natural world we don't understand. I can't explain it, but to me it says very clear, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew who you were before I even formed you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Does this apply to everybody? I don't know. If it wears it, put the hat on, all right? The Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. Don't say you can't do it. Don't say, Lord, this is too big for me. Don't say that. For thou shalt go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you're going to say it. Don't be afraid of their faces, because I am with you to leave you. I'm with you to get you embarrassed. I'm with you to have people laugh at you. No, I'm with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand. He touched my mouth and said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. When Jack McCarthy showed up at that first stone at 4 a.m, whatever it was, with Paul Madore, they didn't know what they were going to say. The Lord put the word in their mouth. When we went to the Capitol building, I didn't know what I was going to say. The Lord put the words in my mouth. When Steve and Craig and OJ and Brockhoff went to that last stone, went into that Masonic temple and shined George Washington's shoes, the Lord put the words in their mouth. They didn't know what they were going to say. Do you see this? Can't you see this, how clear this is? I put my words in your mouth. And see, he said, I have this day set you over the nations, spiritually, and over the kingdoms. To do what, Randy? To root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Now, can somebody explain to me, just what the hell that means? You just sit in your house? You're gonna pluck down, root out, and pull down just by sitting in your house? Come on, that don't even make sense. You say, well, Coach, I'd go to Washington, D.C., and I would throw down, root out, and pull down, and throw. I would do all that, but I don't believe in that stuff.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Are you getting a lot of pushback on the topic of obedience? Because I don't know. To me, it's just a given.
No, I'm not getting a lot of pushback on it. But Roger, I'm trying to encourage more. There's disobedience. There's disobedience, folks. You could be doing this right where you live. You could be going to high places right where you live. We are not active. You could go to your city hall, and you could go out in that flagpole out in front of your city hall, and you could pray over that. That's a high place. That's a position of authority. I'm trying to encourage Christians. See, it doesn't have to be 50 of us. It doesn't have to be Washington, D.C. It has to be places that you see where the enemy is clearly at work and in control.
That teaching is good, the obedience of us individual. But, you know, you men who went there and ladies, the Lord told you to go, you went. To me, it's a done teaching. It's a done deal. It's biblical. But the additional teaching of our individual obedience in our own neighborhood is a good carry-on.
Amen. So I didn't want to sound like I was sucking my thumb. Why is everybody always picking on me? That wasn't my point. Okay, wasn't my point. Folks, listen, I'm going to show you something. Prayer alone doesn't work. Prayer alone doesn't work. Come on in, whoever just raised your hand there. It says Jay.
Coach.
Yep.
This is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
I want to talk about something that who was called to stand during the Rodney King riots. But I was in the Atlanta riots with the Rodney King attribute. And Chad, Jack, a couple of us, we say this all the time. And there's two things I learned during that riot time. You wait 48 hours, whatever rookie rumor comes out of D.C., you'll find out what it's about in 48 hours, just like Bill Barr. Mm-hmm. The second thing is you got to get prepared. Because when the government does something, they're going to do it on a Friday. And then you're not going to see nothing after that. Hmm. So you need to get prepared.
Yeah, maybe this Friday, huh? Maybe this Friday? Maybe.
You got a brother here.
So hey, Yeah, go ahead.
You know, what you said a while ago is so apropos. Prayer alone does not work. The Bible doesn't say prayer availeth much. It says effective prayer availeth much. And what makes prayer effective? Action, baby, action. Yep.
Got to do it. So I think we're seeing. I think we're seeing the hand of God moving already. Let me explain to you what I see is going on. Because if you watch the mainstream media, and you're gonna think that golly, Biden got all the votes yesterday, sworn in. You know, he's what are we gonna do now? Yada 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 yada. Let me share something with you here. I'm on my screen. There's some good things that are happening, folks. Here's what I'm most excited about. The power is returning to the people. Listen, if the Supreme Court had just ruled that the ballots aren't any good, then Trump would have appeared to have been selected by the Supreme Court. In fact, three justices he selected, right? Can you hear the left screaming and hollering on that one? And that would only reinforce the power of the Supreme Court. How many want the Supreme Court to have more power? Raise your hand for me if you want them to have more power. No, I don't either, right? Nobody wants it. We want power to be returned to the people. I sat around yesterday. I can't remember what I was doing, but I had the news on beside me. The computer was playing the news as I was doing it. And all of a sudden, I watched what was going on in Arizona. And I sat up. I said, Lord, what? What? The people in Arizona are filing ballots for Donald Trump? You mean those people down there still believe the election was rigged and that Donald Trump won? And those elected officials, local elected officials, said, and they cast their ballots for Donald Trump? So are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Then Wisconsin did it. Then Georgia did it. Power's coming back to the states, coming back. There is a decentralization going on. See, we don't even need our elected officials in Washington, D.C. anymore. They ought to stay home and serve the people right where we live. They can do Zoom meetings. They can have meetings just like we're having it right now. They don't all need to be there. The decentralization. Now, let me encourage you here. I got three things I wrote down there. I don't know if you know this. Michigan, the judge in Michigan, because we keep hearing Trump's losing the Supreme Court. Oh, Supreme Court smacked him down. Did you know that yesterday that a local judge, federal judge, I think it was in Michigan, ruled that the inspection that they had done on the Dominion voting machines, the inspection they had done has to be made public. They were hiding it. They weren't going to show us what they found. And what did they find out? Wow. 68% of the ballots were phony. Not phony, but they needed to be adjudicated. In other words, they were rigging it. We found it. We saw yesterday as they released that information that the Secretary of State of Michigan wanted to keep it hidden from the people. Yesterday, it was revealed. Number one, that's a great thing. Number two, how about this? In Wisconsin, all I heard is Trump lost in Wisconsin. He lost. The Supreme Court smacked him down again. Well, they did. There were two cases before the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And one of them was that Donald Trump wanted all those ballots thrown out. All the ballots after whatever time, wanted them all thrown out. And the court said, nope, not going to do that. Trump lost. But the second case, the court granted. And what was the second case? Well, it had to do with what they called indefinite confinement. What the Democratic Party had done, had sent out a bunch of ballots and said because of COVID, there were a lot of people who couldn't get to the polls because of COVID, and they called it indefinite confinement. And over a quarter of a million people voted ballots, maybe fake people, right? Quarter of a million people voted by mail because of indefinite confinement. And the court ruled yesterday, COVID is not indefinite confinement. So they're going to go back through all those ballots. Last election, it was about 50,000. This election, it was a quarter of a million. So there's 200,000 phony ballots alone in indefinite confinement. And the judge ruled yesterday, those votes cannot be counted. Folks, Trump wins Wisconsin. So understand this. The Lord's way are not our ways. He's doing it in ways that we don't even understand. And wouldn't it be unbelievable if power returned to the people? And all this battle that's going on with globalism and the New World Order, and what if it came back to just mom and pop America again? Listen, I'm not Pollyannish enough to think that we're going to get there. But I think it's a good thing that the individuals are the ones who are going to be able, the people closest to us are going to be making some of these decisions. Somebody come on in. I know you got something.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Naomi.
So back to Jeremiah, where in verse 5, where it says, God ordained us to be a prophet among the nations. What came to my mind is what I mentioned to you in my email about the salt mine that I went to in Poland. And the tour guide told us that we could get down on our hands and knees and lick the floor. And even though there have been thousands of visitors and there used to be communities living there with horses, and this is way underground, so there was no way to take the horses upstairs every time they needed to go out. He said it's perfectly fine because salt absorbs the toxins and it cleanses, it purifies. How many Christians really understand what we are? Salt of the earth. We Amen. Are to purify and we are to cleanse and get rid of those toxins.
Amen, Naomi. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm going to ask for 79 people in here to pray for that situation that we've been at that Foxhole Strip Club. 12, some of them don't know, 12 years outside of that dump, that den of iniquity. And we laid stones up there. Matter of fact, Ricky stopped last Sunday by himself, stood out front of that front door, laid a stone there, an Ebenezer stone, and prayed against that place again. We do it all the time. 12 years outside of that place, you've been there with us before. 4 years in a federal court case right now, still hanging. And we have no idea what's going to happen with this thing. But we got a call the other day, and their attorneys met with the judge, the enemy's attorney. They want some kind of compromise. They want a settlement. I think they're at their wits' end. We don't know what's happening, but just pray against this place that we will get this victory. It's been a total of 16 years, and they went from 100 customers down to about 6. Well, but we took the salt outside that place.
Folks, I want you to remember this, that Jesus said, if you have the grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. If you don't doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. Right? You with me on that, folks? But it doesn't say that the mountain's just going to disappear on its own. Sometimes you got to get a shovel and you got to dig that thing out. And as Chad mentioned earlier, this ain't Aunt Jemima pancakes in the morning. This ain't minute rice. Some of these things are so deeply rooted that just like a rotten tree, it takes a while for the rot to show up. And so Amen. It's been the faith of you, Jeff, and you guys are going out there. And yeah, we can continue to pray for you, but this stuff takes time. And what? So the Bible says, after you do the will of God, all you have to do based on paraphrasing, all you gotta do is wait after you do the will of God. Are we doing the will of God? Are we asking God to bless our efforts when there aren't any efforts? How do you bless something that you haven't done? And so we're getting more and more active, and we all need to do it locally, get active, and do what we just read. Root up, tear down, rebuild, plant, take authority. The Lord's given us. Everywhere we go, everywhere we put our feet, it's given to us. Yes, go ahead.
Coach.
Yep.
If God gave you the whole plan, what faith does it require to do that? It takes no faith to, if he gives you everything, it takes no faith to do that. And so what you guys are doing, going to Washington, D.C., Georgia, Godstones and all that, faith without works is dead.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to go kill them, aren't we? We got living faith. Living faith. Faith now. Faith is. It's active. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.